defending First Amendment rights at UVA. From Antifa to free speech advocate. And social media, not the economy, is harming teen mental health. Welcome to Fair News Weekly. To read all of the articles discussed in this podcast, please visit this podcast's episode description. Dear friends of FAIR, in recent months, we have been disheartened to see the pervasive instances of discriminatory hostility directed at students of Jewish faith and Israeli national heritage on college campuses across the country. Discrimination on the basis of protected characteristics such as one's race, skin color, religion, or national origin is unlawful, period. That the discrimination might be motivated by deeply held political or social beliefs does not change the calculus. But what has been especially alarming to us most recently is a disturbing trend emerging where students who report discrimination are retaliated against in what seems to be attempts to silence their calls for help. FAIR is currently focused on legal advocacy around one such case. Earlier this week, FAIR filed a civil rights complaint with the Department of Education asking for it to investigate a hostile environment on the University of Virginia's campus. The complaint is in response to an incident report filed on fairtransparency.org by UVA freshman Matan Goldstein, a Jewish American Israeli student. The report outlines how Goldstein's brief college experience has been mired in discriminatory harassment based on his religion and national origin. Goldstein has been physically assaulted and targeted with several racial and ethnic slurs. The hostile campus environment has required him to self-censor and alter his behavior in various ways in order to avoid further harassment. Goldstein was recently hospitalized for extreme depression, he no longer wears his yarmulke or Jewish star necklace in public, and he has moved out of his dormitory and now resides in an undisclosed location out of fear for his safety. Goldstein notified UVA on numerous occasions about the hostility directed at him. The school has failed to correct the problem and has instead retaliated against Goldstein. UVA's Honor Council is now pursuing what it has every reason to know is a baseless accusation against Matan. A fellow student brought an honor charge against Matan, alleging that Matan lied when he answered a reporter's question about physical hostility directed at Matan during a student rally in October of 2023. Matan will now be forced to defend himself before the Honor Council in order to escape expulsion from the university. Intimidation tactics like this one not only infringe upon the student's First Amendment rights, but in this case, the news reporter's rights may be violated as well. At its very foundational level, the First Amendment is meant to protect the truth. If speakers are intimidated into remaining silent, that in turn impacts the ability of news media to deliver truthful reporting, which thereby infringes the First Amendment rights of the general public because the public is then deprived of the opportunity to hear the truth. We at FAIR are committed to upholding the constitutional rights afforded to all of us. If individuals are scared to report civil rights violations out of fear of being expelled from school, we cannot do our jobs. That is why we stand with Matan and all students who find themselves the targets of discriminatory harassment. We hope you will join us. Your support is what makes it possible for us to take up crucial legal advocacy projects like this one. Warmly, the team at the Foundation Against Intolerance and Racism. For FAIR Substack, Gabriel Nadales wrote about his journey from Antifa member to free speech advocate. He writes, "Well, around this time, I began learning about free market ideals, and I was particularly interested in intellectuals like Milton Friedman and Thomas Sowell. To be clear, I didn't like them, but I found them interesting. So interesting that I wanted to talk about their ideas with my friends. So I went with my fellow anarchist friends and I started talking about the free market, the tragedies of the commons, and all that. I'm questioning our ideals. I'm super excited, and one of them turns to me and says, 'You capitalist pig, there's that passion I'm talking about.' My friend was so passionate about anarchism, he was unwilling to hear anything that challenged his beliefs. And suddenly, I was his enemy. Just for asking questions. It was my passion that told me that if I wanted to make the world a better place, then I needed to get radical. So I joined Antifa. But I was discovering that passion without reason is dangerous." For Persuasion, FAIR advisor Jonathan Haidt wrote about the teen mental health crisis. But the skeptics are not always right. Haidt says, "The lesson of the boy who cried wolf is not that after two false alarms we should disconnect the alarm system. In that story, the wolf does eventually come. The question before us now, on the topic of teen mental health and social media is this. Are the skeptics correct that we are going through just one more groundless moral panic over teens and tech, in which adults are freaking out while, in fact, the harms of social media are so minimal that they shouldn't be a cause for worry? Or did the wolf really arrive around 2012 and has been mauling young people ever since via their smartphones and social media accounts? Of course, there are researchers who reside in the space between these two perspectives. For the Boston Globe, Fair Advisor Lisa Celine Davis wrote about a way out of the political impasse over youth gender treatments. In America, she writes, the main problem with the issue of how to best treat kids with gender distress is that it has become intertwined with politics. Some who object to the affirmative model or question it fear the personal and professional repercussions of being cast as a bigot. Some who support the affirmative model in red states are criminalizing the care fear of being jailed. There are a few other areas of healthcare where professionals are so afraid to openly discuss their views, where people are vilified on social media, and where name-calling echoes the worst bullying behavior, Cass writes. This must stop. For his Substack, Heal the West, Julian Adorni wrote about the tenets of DEI and which of the three he believes should be jettisoned. Adorni writes, the point isn't that rejecting foundational Enlightenment ideals is bad. I would argue that it is, but that's a book-length topic. The point is that we should peel back the curtain. A lot of folks support DEI because they support ending racism and sexism and homophobia, not realizing that many DEI practitioners also have in their sights the foundational ideals of the American experiment. While DEI is a big field with lots of different supporters who believe different things, the condemnation of DEI by eminently fair-minded scholars like Jonathan Haidt make me suspect that these problems run deep. People should be free to support DEI if they want to, of course, but they should at least be clear on what prominent DEI practitioners are actually saying. For The Guardian, Blake Morrison wrote a review of Knife: Meditations After an Attempted Murder by Salman Rushdie. Morrison writes, there were more challenges to come, 7 months working with a hand therapist, the unstitching of his right eyelid, a prosthesis fitted to his mouth to make eating less uncomfortable. He doesn't claim to be brave and gives short shrift to the idea that what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Still, it was brave of him to return a year on to the amphitheater where he was attacked to feel lightness. A circle had been closed. Thanks to love, luck, and surgical skill, he'd been given a second chance. This is, to quote, a book I'd much rather not needed to write, he says, composed with one eye and 1.5 hands. But he uses it to own what happened, and as a love song to Eliza. As well as documenting his ordeal, it ranges widely from thoughts about other writers who were victims of knife crime, Samuel Beckett, Naguib Mahfouz, what was this, a club? To memories of childhood and his abusive alcoholic father, to reflections on violence and on the deaths and illnesses of friends. EDI and Race Ideologies in Canadian Universities. Join Heterodox Academy and the Institute for Liberal Studies on the 3rd Annual Colloquia Conference on April 25th and 26th. This 2-day conference explores the impacts, both positive and negative, of EDI and race ideologies on Canadian university campuses. Register now with the link in the description. Join Dissident Dialogues in partnership with Unheard and sponsored by Ground News. In New York City on May 3rd and 4th, the world's leading and most original thinkers gather for 2 days of debate and discussion and disagreement. Discussions will feature Fair Advisors Michael Schellenberger and Li Feng, as well as Richard Dawkins, Ayaan Hirsi Ali, John McWhorter, Steven Pinker, Constantine Kissin, Francis Foster, John Varakay, Thomas Chatterton Williams, Kathleen Stock, Freddie Sayers, Bridget Fetisi, Diana S. Fleischman, Africa Brooke, Alex O'Connor, and Mary Harrington. How we make teaching too hard for mere mortals. Join Fair in Education on Wednesday, May 15th from 6 to 7 p.m. Eastern for a conversation with Robert Pondicio, Senior Fellow at American Enterprise Institute, to discuss the question, what is the missing key to better educational outcomes and better lives for teachers? Join now with the link below. We want the Fair Substack to be the go-to publication for diverse perspectives on culture and civil rights. Whether you're a seasoned author or an amateur writer with a story that can contribute to our mission of promoting fairness, understanding, and humanity, we would love to receive your stories, opinions, investigations, reviews, interviews, and more. Please send your piece to submissions at fairforall.org. We hope to hear from you. Finally, if you liked this podcast, subscribe, share it with a friend, and leave us a rating and review. Make sure to check out our newsletter and weekly roundup to read more into any of this week's stories or visit the episode description. Donations are always welcome at fairforall.org/donate.